Geography. Free space for geography. Extending teaching and learning methods beyond the boundaries of campus.
Did you hear about Frontline?
Frontline,
by the way, has an outstanding production.
Geography Frontline.
Frontliners. Wow. Such a heat outside. Can you stand it? Wow. I'm not used to that kind of heat in Germany. Hey, that's almost Texas-style heat. Welcome, everybody, to episode 131 of Geography Frontline. Hey, and sorry for the delay of this episode, but with the end of the term and all deadlines kicking in, it was kind of rough. Really rough to produce the show anyway. And so, you know, this evening I'm leaving for a hopefully wonderful holiday. 1 week on the Baltic Sea. Wow. Yeah. So I won't be able to put up a show next week. That's for sure. And in 2 weeks, from now, it could really work. So if you are new to the show, welcome, new listeners. So we are talking about day-to-day topics in this show in Geography Frontline from a geographic perspective. So we just kind of to sometimes deconstruct the news from our geographic point of view. And I started Frontline some years ago, and I wasn't sure if I could find enough topics that would fit into this format. But it turns out, you know what, that's not a problem, not even was once a problem. So there is so much going on in the world, on your doorsteps, everywhere, that you simply have to take a look around and then start discussing almost any topic geographically. And that's what I did for this week's episode again, and I found something really interesting about urban action. Mm-hmm. And also in the show, some thoughts on bringing Las Vegas to Europe. So this week's topics are urban action and Eurovegas. The 72nd Urban Action. That's a competition where artists from around the world gather to restructure, enhance, or design urban space, public urban space. And this year, it was taking place in Stuttgart, in Germany. And I thought, hey, this seems to be of geographic relevance. And why? So, let's see. Who is participating in this urban action? On the website of this event, they say the international teams will include of architects, designers, artists, craftspeople and students, and generally nice people. Nice people. Teams will come to Stuttgart armed with a passion for action and ready to volunteer their time and expertise to help with community needs. Help with community needs. Interesting. We believe change shouldn't take long and is up to all of us. So, now I'm wondering how these artists could possibly know what people would like to see or have in their neighborhood or urban environment in general, right? And it turns out, they are actually asking the people what they would think about their restructuring ideas. So, that's not bad. Especially if you know about Stuttgart and Stuttgart 21. So, Stuttgart 21, the rebuilding of the city's train station. Stuttgart 21 is the biggest redevelopment site in Europe. Really? Did you know that? Following plans to dig the entire main train station, and landing lines underground, a local upheaval and social protest arose, and the city's planning department went back to the drawing board on big parts of their plans because of the social protest. Really. So in this context of civic discontent, 72-hour urban action and local partner Kunstverein Wagenhallen work together to provide residents and municipality with alternative mechanisms for participatory urban planning. And this is, Frontliners, this is what I think is absolutely great about the idea of 72-hour urban action, to let people participate in urban redevelopment and not just building something many people disagree with. I don't want to say that this should be a role model for urban redevelopment, but what do you think about participation? Let me know, frontliners. Send me an email to comment@geogfree.com and let us know what you think. Do we need more participation when it comes to urban redevelopment? Or do we simply have to shut up and let the state or the city build the things that are good for us because they know better? What's your opinion? I mean, if we think about today's cities, we can think about postmodernity, right? About individual lifestyles, about public-private partnerships and a growing difference or growing differences between certain groups of people. I will talk about post-metropolis some more later, a little later in the show, but I just wanted to think about it, or want you to think about it. If theory tells us that the city becomes more and more ungovernable, individual, and more like a kind of a hyper-reality where everybody got a different kinds of life designs and lifestyles, then question would be, doesn't it make a lot of sense to implement spontaneous urban restructuring like 72-hour urban action does? Could this become a major theme for urban redevelopment? More than just an art project that's kind of nice to witness, but that would be all about it. Should we turn our city into an art gallery? An art gallery of our individual needs? Getting quite a bit philosophical here, but seriously, is the idea to take 3 days and nights, like 72 hours, and design and build in public space total BS? Or is it a nice thing to have? Or is it essential for our lives? I don't know. If you take all your courage, frontliners, you, if you take all your courage now and open your Skype account, click on Skype, the little blue S, and type Geogfree into the dial pad in Skype, you are directly connected to the Skype Geogfree voicemail, and you could really leave a voice message with your thoughts. This would be really awesome, frontliners, to give us something to talk about, you know? So think about it, or send me an email, or post something if you want to on facebook.com/geogfree about urban planning and this whole urban restructuring process. What's that sound? Last episode, we had a new sound riddle that you could try to deconstruct. And I personally love these sound riddles. Take a simple urban sound, record it, and play it back in the show, right? And almost nobody seems to have an idea what might have caused that sound. Like last episode, this was the sound. Too hard to guess? I'm telling you, it's not that simple, but on the other hand, you really might have heard this sound many, many times before. Christiane posted her guess on our Facebook page. She says, "Hi, the sound riddle is a dustbin rolled in its dustbin container and the closing door of the container, isn't it? Many greetings from Bucharest, Christiane." Hey. Hi, Christiane. Not bad. Not bad at all. But not quite right either. Yeah, you're kind of in the right surrounding, but it's not a dustbin. So, as nobody got it right, we just stick with it, with this sound riddle for the next episode. And if you have an educated guess, send an email to comment@geogfree.com or call the voicemail or post on Facebook. You can also, don't know, what else? No, that should be enough. Facebook voicemail or email. And let me know what causes such a sound. And before we get more into post-metropolis things, there is a song for all the creative people around you. These are The State with their song, The Architect. So happy that the Podsafe Music Network is working again. That's The Architect from the band named The States from their album The Path of Least Resistance. This song is provided from Mevio's Music Alley. Check it out at music.mevio.com. And it's time again for a look at our Facebook page. This week we have a really cool post that I would like to talk about on Frontline on Facebook. Yeah, Judith posted a link to a German journal article I find kind of interesting. I did some research myself to present you one or two English sources, always a good and important thing if we all want to understand what's going on and not only post in German, right? And so here's what I found. This is the LA Times. American billionaire Sheldon Adelson, owner of Las Vegas Sands Corporation, wants to build a casino complex dubbed Euro Vegas, complete with 36,000 hotel rooms, 18,000 slot machines, and three golf courses. Hey, Euro Vegas? Really? That sounds kind of crazy. Where should you want to build that? Spain's two largest cities, Madrid and Barcelona, are in the running. And the winner will be announced any day now. Madrid is thought to have an edge. Last month, Adelson's private jet landed unannounced near Alcorcón, and the tycoon and his wife made a discreet hour-long inspection of a possible construction site. So, it is Spain, Madrid, or Barcelona. What do you think, frontliners? Why Spain? The LA Times goes on. No, actually Reuters. That's from Reuters. Business magnate Sheldon Adelson, the chief executive and driving force behind Las Vegas Sands, chose Spain for his European dream project because? Because of its weather. Really? And strong tourism and job potential. Whoa. And is undeterred by the deepening economic crisis. Hey, yeah, as I said, that's a quote from Reuters. And picking construction sites because of the weather doesn't really work for me, frontliners. Give me a break. So, do you really think that Adelson follows not an economic but a more social geographic approach? Build where you feel it's right, even though there's the economic crisis, especially in Spain, right now? Don't you think that this might be exactly why EuroVegas is planned to being built in Spain and not in, say, like countries like Germany? Well, the COO, the chief operation officer, Michael Levin from Las Vegas Sands, that's Adelson's company, right, says the following. My personal belief is that the crisis will end at some point, while this project will go on for many years. Our company expects to take advantage of an opportunity that we may not have again because of this situation, Levin said. Take advantage of an opportunity. You mean crisis, Mr. Levin, right? Well, what else would be the opportunity? A country with 22% unemployment rate that is financially almost broke gets the chance to get a huge investor on board, The company has already initiated talks with some 30 to 40 US, Asian, and European banks. Including Spanish ones, to finance the first phase of the project to build 6,000 rooms at the cost of $6 billion to $8 billion US dollars, of which Las Vegas Sands has pledged to contribute a third. So, about 2 to 2.6 or $7 billion will be paid by Las Vegas Sands. And the rest? European taxpayers' money. Oh, it's coming from the banks, right? Oh, okay, don't mix that up. Interesting. And also very tempting, right? So, the website goes on for political and business leaders. It is a tantalizing prospect, an investment of up to 15 billion euros, that's 19 billion US dollars, at a time of recession, with nearly one quarter of the workforce unemployed. Yeah, that's from Yahoo News, actually. So up to 15 billion euros, not too shabby, not too shabby. And the projected jobs created aren't bad either. The EuroVegas was projected by its backers to create up to 250,000 jobs in a country where a quarter of the workforce is unemployed. Okay. Another really interesting thing from a geographic point of view is the choice between Madrid and Spain. I read an interesting article once about post-metropolis. The changing urban landscape in postmodern and post-Fordist times. You know what I'm talking about, right? So, examples in the journal article from, I think it was early 2000s, maybe 2002 or 3. Examples were Madrid and Barcelona of this restructuring in postmodern times of the city, right? So, the reason why I'm bringing this up is the difference between the two cities. According to this article, while Barcelona mainly became postmodern by restructuring the economy, So we are talking about post-forest production and employment by supporting like public-private partnerships and by hosting the Olympic Games in 1992. So added kind of a festival culture to its portfolio. Madrid achieved the transformation towards post-metropolis or post-modernity in a different way. You would find many gated communities in Madrid have not only economic but socio-economic change. Madrid has a lot of fun parks, for example, urban entertainment centers and temples of consumption. And also a really important factor for Madrid, urban development went private. So we are talking privatization here. I don't know about you, but if I hear privatization, fun parks, and temples of consumption, I'm thinking Las Vegas. So I would really take a bet that Eurovegas will be located in Madrid and not in Barcelona. And meanwhile, Reuters reports Las Vegas Sands will reveal in September. Which of Spain's two largest cities, Barcelona or Madrid, will be chosen for its massive Eurovegas casino and resort project? So, frontliners, let's do a quick vote on the topic. I would really like to know what you think about Eurovegas. Do you think that it is an economic jackpot? Jackpot! Great! Great to have. B. A financial rip-off. C. A fun place to visit. Or D. Yeah, vote for answer D if you should have another opinion. So, please go to geocafree.com, open the frontline section and click on episode 131 to find the quick vote button. Or simply follow the link in the show notes for episode 131. With one click, you can tell us what you think and we can have a follow-up in one of the next episodes. It's time again for a short read from Humboldt's diary he kept during his voyage to the Americas in 1799. It's always great to listen to how geography started, right? It's really geography describing the earth. So that's what Alexander von Humboldt does, and that's where we try to get inspired from for our own geographic lives. So let's see. The governor of Cumana sent in 1797 a band of determined men to explore this entirely desert country and to open a direct road to New Barcelona. Hey, New Barcelona? Wonder where this comes from, huh? By the summit of the Mesa. It was reasonably expected that this way would be shorter and less dangerous to the health of travelers than the route taken by the couriers along the coasts. But every attempt to cross the chain of the mountains of the Brigantine was fruitless. In this part of America, as in Australia, to the west of Sydney, it is not so much the height of the mountain chains as the form of the rocks that presents obstacles difficult to surmount. So here we learn about geomorphology, very basic, and Humboldt provides us with an analogy to Australia. That's interesting. Yeah. He goes on describing the whole valley. The longitudinal valley formed by the lofty mountains of the interior and the southern declivity of the Cerro de San Antonio is intersected by the Rio Manzanares. This plain, the only throughoutly wooded part in the environs of Cumana, is called the Plain of the Charras, on account of the numerous plantations which the inhabitants have begun for some years past along the river. So we hear more about the physical structure of the valley, right? And about how locations, areas, and spots get their names. And yeah, I just said that. Think about New Barcelona. It's pretty clear where that came from. So a narrow path leads from the hill of San Francisco across the forest to the hospital of the Capuchins, a very agreeable country house which the Aragonese monks have built as a retreat for old infirm missionaries who can no longer fulfill the duties of their ministry. As we advance to the west, the trees of the forest become more vigorous, and we meet with a few monkeys, which, however, are very rare in the environs of Cumana. And really, Frontlines, that's what's so fascinating about Humboldt's descriptions. So from monks to monkeys within three lines of text, right? It's the universal description that we can detect here. He knows about almost everything and he writes about everything. And so I think in science, that's one takeaway. In science, we don't have that anymore, right? We don't have that. Yeah, that scientist that knows about everything, even though some people pretend to. But yeah, that has changed, clearly changed. Wow, great. So the conference for this week's episode of Geography Frontline doesn't really fit into this week's topics, but it nevertheless seems to be really interesting. So it's the 11th International Conference on Web-Based Learning, the ICWL 2012, taking place in September, from 2nd to 4th of September 2012 in Sinaia in Romania. So on their website, for the call for papers, it's stated, the conference program consists of highly quality technical papers that are reviewed and selected by international program committee. Papers are solicited on all technical aspects of web-based learning and related technologies, including but not limited to the following topics. So, and to give you just a few of these, it's about personalized and adaptive learning, about computer support for intelligent tutoring, game-based learning, Web 2.0 and social learning environments, HTML5 web-based learning, e-learning platforms and tools, semantic web and ontologies for e-learning, or something like cloud-based learning. Yeah. So if this sounds interesting for you, maybe you book your trip in the beginning of September 2012 to Romania. Yeah, and as they say in times of social media, what happens in Vegas stays on Frontline. Send me your thoughts about this week's episode and let me know about your field trips, travel destinations, and geographic observations. Have a great week, everybody. And say it with me now, the network is us.